You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Hello and welcome back to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. Always a pleasure to bring you these very special interviews that take us all over the world. Today it's a trip back to Greece with a few stops along the way, then back again to Greece. My next guest is about as versatile as they come on the floor, a guy that can play various positions, take you inside, score all day, very capable of dropping threes right in your face, a career 37% three-point shooter, but knocked down more than 50% back in 2012-2013. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Crossover, a guy that has the most young player, newcomer, rising star awards that I've ever seen in my life. Kostas Papanikolaou, how are you, my man? Tikanis.
How you doing, my man? Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure for me to be here. You make a great fashion with this crossover podcast, and it's really a pleasure for me to be here.
Yeah, it's nice, man, because we used to have to fight to get you guys to come and sit down for an hour with me. Now some of you guys want to do it, so we appreciate your time also, you know? We know you have family, you have everything going on. We want to make sure your family's fine, everybody's fine during this coronavirus.
Yeah, everybody's great, you know, and thank God, no problems, everybody's healthy. And, you know, we just got to be careful, everybody, and we're going to go through it.
Now, we're doing this interview in the morning, which is, you know, probably more difficult for you than it is for me. I'm 55, so I'm, you know, I'm like 7 o'clock, my body's waking me up. But we're doing it because you have an appointment that I think you forgot about when we originally scheduled. And it's a very important appointment about your wife being pregnant. It's a doctor's appointment. You can't forget about those appointments as a husband, man.
Being honest, I didn't forget it. It wasn't scheduled yet.
And then
my wife scheduled it behind my back without me knowing, without asking me, you know. So I had to support my wife and be there with her, you know. So that's why, and I apologize for all these problems that might cause.
I think a pregnant wife takes precedence over the crossover. That's one of the things we'll allow you to do. You know, we adapt quickly. We got to thank all the guys that you already met here before we started over at IMG for being able to make sure that you didn't miss that appointment so that your wife wouldn't talk to you for 3 days. I don't know how that goes, but is this your first kid?
Yeah, first kid. And I'm really excited. I can't wait.
You're not nervous, are you? Isn't like nervous excitement?
Not so far. I mean, but I don't know when the due day is, how I'm going to feel, you know, when we come to life, you know, because, you know, for guys, for men, it's a little bit later that they get the clue, you know, because the wife has all the process, all these months, and she gets ready, but the man just goes one day to the hospital and comes out with a baby and he's freaking out, you know?
Hey. I always used to say that like we go out and play basketball and you said you're injured now and you're going through all these trials and tribulations of playing, but thank God that we didn't have to carry the baby for 9 months and deliver. I don't think we can do it.
From what I see, thank God. I mean, God for a reason made women so strong, you know, that they can hold all this process and go through it.
When is the due date?
They gave us end of March.
Okay.
And it's end of March, beginning of April, you know, so we are almost there.
All right, now my question is, you're not going to try to take after one of your teammates, are you, and have like 46 kids, right?
Nah.
What's up with Billy? How many kids does he have now?
If it comes with the success he had for any kid he made, then I might think about it, you know?
I interviewed him for this show a couple of years ago here in Madrid, and he said, no, I'm done. I think it was his fourth kid or maybe his fifth. I don't even know. I don't know how many he has now. And I said,
he's at six now.
He has six.
Yeah.
I said to him, is that it? He's like, I'm done, Joe. He's like, I'm done. I promise I'm done. And then like 2 weeks later, I see his Instagram account that his wife's pregnant again.
Right.
My question is, the guy, from what I understand, practices all the time. He's one of the hardest workers there is. You guys travel all the time.
How you find the time?
Yeah, they have five kids also. So how do they have five time to get to make children for Christmas? I can't get it. I can't figure it out.
I don't know, man. This guy has a lot of secrets of success, you know, and in various parts, you know. So maybe that's one more.
I don't know. His wife must love being a mom. But you talk about your family. You were brought up. I talked to so many players that were brought up within like sports families, basketball families. You were brought up a little bit outside of Saloniki. Your dad was a cop, and your mom had what I always feel as though is the hardest job in the world, and that's a stay-at-home mom with a couple of kids. You know, that's the hardest job in the world.
Exactly.
So where did you get the basketball thing from? Because you were actually a volleyball player at first, right?
Right, I started playing volleyball when I was in fifth grade. Then basketball camp opened up in my city, Ravenna, like we say in Greece, that I grew up. And all of my friends and I, we decided to go there and give it a shot, you know, just go for fun and be all together and just play and stuff. And day by day, weeks by weeks, month by month, I saw that basketball fits more to my personality, to how I feel about the sport, you know, and how I involve in the sport. And it was that moment that my coach is there, and also my father told me that I have to take a decision, that I cannot be playing both volleyball and basketball. I have to make a decision, you know, and choose one of it. And thank God for me, I chose basketball over both volleyball, because it turned out very well for me.
Sometimes fathers, they know what they're talking about, you know?
I mean, right.
My kids always look back at me, they're like, you know, why'd you tell me this? Why'd you tell me that? I'm like, we know what we're talking about somewhere along the line.
Listen, I got to tell you, man, none of this would happen without my father and my mother, and also my brother's support, you know, because they really support me. My father was getting in the car, driving me all the way, all across Greece, you know, to get me to camps and everything. Sleeping in the car and waiting for me, you know, all these kind of stuff that dads do, and they never get credit for it, you know, and they don't even expect to get credit for it. They do it from their heart, you know, and also my mother, you know, they gave up their life to follow me to Thessaloniki, you know, and just give me a shot for my dreams, you know, and because nobody told them at that moment that everything will work out and will be where we are today. So every chance I have, I give them a big applause, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart, you know.
That's probably one of the nicest things I've heard on this show, because parents do not get enough credit sometimes for just the time that they spend, and 'cause no one really sees, nobody sees everything that they actually give up to make sure that your dreams come true. So that's a very special thing. And growing up next to Saloniki, which is one of my favorite cities in Madrid, or in Greece, of course, I just absolutely love that place. Who is your favorite team? I mean, you're fighting between PAOK and Aris, but you spend most of your life in Olympiacos. Who is your favorite team growing up?
I shouldn't say that now, but
I used to
support Aris.
Aris.
Yes, very much. But you know, once you get in the business, if I can say, you stop seeing everything. You know, you gotta be more professional. Of course, you have you like some teams more than others. You know, but you gotta be professional. You gotta do your job. And of course, here in Olympiacos, being here for 10 years now, the bond is very strong, you know, and it's hard not to like the team that you consider as your family, you know, for so many years.
You know, a lot of the young guys that might be, or young people, I should say, that are listening to this, that will listen to this, they don't realize that PAOK and Aris was maybe even more of a rivalry than Panathinaikos Olympiacos was back in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, it was some of the most amazing games. It was some of the most amazing places I've ever played in my life was up in Thessaloniki. I mean, it's just an incredible rivalry up there.
I had the opportunity to, and I was lucky that I saw some great moments, you know, of Aris, you know, new past, you know, if I can say, not Gallis and everything, but the years 2006, 2005 that they were in EuroLeague. Mm-hmm. And the gym was full, and you know, the atmosphere was crazy. One of the best atmospheres I've ever seen. You know, easily I could compare it to great atmospheres from all around Europe, from great arenas like Maccabi, like Zalgiris. You know, like a pure basketball atmosphere, you know, and great environment to play, you know.
I mean, just for me, an indication of what Artis is all about is at the end of my career, I went and played for, I think, 4 months there. And it was a difficult time. The team was, we were in, you know, towards the last place. We ended up making it to the playoffs. And it was a great year, but I spent 4 months there at Costas, 4 months. And they still treat me like I'm family, you know? It's like I spent my whole life there. You know, I get messages from them on Twitter. They send me pictures all the time. And it's just a special place, man. And you got to play there. I mean, this was your team growing up. And then all of a sudden, you show up and you play there. What's it like to have that? I mean, I don't know. Was that your dream at one point? When did it become your dream to play for Artis?
Well, I mean, first of all, I didn't even expect it, you know, like start playing basketball. Everybody has dreams, you know, but you never, you know, too sure that you're going to make any of those. So for me, like when it was the summer of 2005, if I'm not mistaken, that I had some offers, you know, from various teams in Greece to go and make a practice, you know, to see me and how I work out, how everything, you know, and to see if they want to take me in. And one of the teams was Artis, and it was, I was so nervous, you know, going there, going on the court. Yeah, because it's not only that I went for practice, it's like Andrea Machon, that was the coach at the time of the team, came over, you know, to watch the practice. Ryan Stack just walked through the door at one moment, you know, to watch the practice. You know, for me, it was like guys that I was seeing on TV and I was admiring, you know, like, and then they were right there standing on the door or standing on the stands watching, you know, and I was so nervous. I think that was one of the most, I don't know, bad, if I could say, practices. I don't know what they saw to me that day, you know, but I was so nervous. But you know, then when they called me and they said, okay, you gotta come if you want to, you can come and watch a game, you know, that we have on a playoff. They were playing with Marussi at home at the time. Said, you can come over and watch a game if you want. It was the first time I walked into a court, you know, a basketball court, like that crowded and everything, you know. I was blown away, you know, like watching around my...
So that was the moment speechless. For you then. That was the moment. Right.
Yes.
This is what I want
living,
to do.
Living the court, I said to my father, okay, this is where I want to go. You know, this is where I want to come. I want to come here. I want to play here, you know, and I want to give it a shot.
We're going to get through this through the interview, but that was probably one of the only moments. It was probably only one of the only big moments when you were nervous and you didn't perform well, because the rest of the time you did, and we'll talk about that. A little later, you didn't play that much your first year in Artis, but somehow or another, you got into some kind of youth all-star game. Well, I mean, what was there, only like 10 youth players that you had to play, or what? Because you didn't play that much for Artis.
Yeah, I mean, at that moment, in general, in Greek league, you know, you didn't get the chance to see a lot of young players, you know, to play. But they had to make an all-star game, and they had to have some young players, you know, also there for the rising star, I guess, sophomore, if I can say, you know,
right, okay.
Game. So this is what, so they start bringing in kids, you know, from all the big teams, you know, and everything, just to make two teams and play throughout Saturday, because Sunday was the main event with the main all-star and everything. That was the chance for us, you know, to play and to in front of crowd and for people to see us for first time, you know.
And that's one of the first situation we'll talk about is you took advantage of that because you ended up winning the MVP in that tournament, in that game.
Right. You did your research. I mean, you know.
I do my research, but I got guys that you talked to beforehand that do a lot of research for me also. So this is, you know, just like when you guys win titles, it's not one player, it's a team.
True, that's true.
When this crossover comes out, it's a team effort, without a doubt. So they've done a lot of research for me. I mean, it didn't seem like you were that well-known of a player. You were probably well-known in local areas in certain parts, but then you went to the U18 team, and you went to the U20 team, and you won both of those European championships, and And I think it was a U20 that you got the MVP also. And it's, again, we're starting this trend where you just show up in the most important moments. Was that the moment where you developed the I always talk about confidence. You can't play this game without confidence. It's impossible. I mean, you could have as much passion as you want. You could have as much desire as you want. But if you don't have self-confidence, you're not going to get anywhere. Is that where you kind of developed it?
Well, to be honest with you, like you said, in U16, I was kicked out from the team. That upset me a lot, like made me sad a lot and gave me a purpose, you know, to keep working hard for the next year to come, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the moment that I realized that I got to work hard, you know, if I want to make something and if I want to have a success on something, you know, in, according to basketball. Because like you said, I wasn't the most talented player in my age, you know, and everything. There were guys much more talented than me and well-known all over Greece and some of them all over Europe too. So yes, that year for me was the year that I sat down, I worked hard, and in U18 I wasn't ready yet, but I believe the next year in the U19 World Championship and U20 European Championship in Rhodes, that was the turning point for me.
I love the fact of what you said, a lot of, you know, everything that happened along the way. How many players, because I've always thought about this in my life, and how lucky I feel like I've been. How many players along the way did you grow up with playing that were your age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, that didn't make it as far as you did, that you look at like, man, I can't believe that I made it and he didn't? How many of them? There's a bunch, aren't there?
There's a lot. There's a lot of guys. And, you know, I always say this to the kids, you know, it's not only what you do. You need some luck also, you yeah. know. And for me, luck is a big factor, you know, of our life and how things will turn out. This is when I go to talk to some kids, I say, you just guys got to do work and do the best you can from your perspective. From there on, there is other things and other factors that they might come into your life, into your career, into everything. You know, it doesn't mean that you are not worth it, but, you know, it's still part of the life. I was in the lucky side, you know, of life, because I can tell you this, I could come to Olympiacos that year that I came, that Coach Giannaki chose me to come here. And instead of Coach Ivkovic that came along after him and made me play, you know, it could be some other coach that he didn't trust young players. And I never play. I never step on the court and would be a totally different situation. You would not be here, of course, talking with me. You know?
It's amazing, isn't it? The fact that so many different factors can change the journey that a player has. And you like, I look back and I see so many guys that I played in college basketball with that are like, they were so much better than me. And they just didn't get the opportunities that I had. But now you're in Olympiacos. But there had to be a point, because now you're MVP of these tournaments. You're winning tournaments for your country, which is even more special sometimes. And there had to be a point where you were either red or green. I mean, I'm sure they were both talking to you.
Yeah, they were both. They were both.
Why red?
I'll tell you why. Because at the time, I felt like Olympiacos was the right team for me to have the opportunity to play. And I will give you examples for that. I mean, Panathinaikos at that time, 2009, had strong teams, you know. Yeah. You couldn't see a lot of young players playing there, you know. Olympiacos, on the other hand, with Coach Giannakis, had Panagiotis Vasilopoulos, that he was young, you know, and he was like 25, I think, 23 maybe, not even 25. And he was playing, they had Bourousis, that he was young and he was playing. So, and it was a lot of young players, you know, all around the team, like Sloukas had come the year before, that we were the same age, you know. And I say, look, Olympiacos is trying to do something with the young players. Maybe they have something in mind, you know. Maybe they want to give a shot. And I thought that if I had one chance and one shot, that would be with Olympiacos. That's why I chose Olympiacos. And I think I did the right thing.
Yeah. Well, I think so too. Maybe if you chose Panathinaikos, you wouldn't be on my show today.
Right.
But what I like about the research that I did is you started at 2009, you played 6 games, you scored 5 points the entire season. 2010, you went 16 games and you scored like 3.9 points per game. 2011, you went 22 games and you scored 6.1 points per game. In 2012, you went 31 games and scored 8.7 points a game. It was the continued growth that you showed on a yearly basis. Of course, these numbers don't sound crazy, you know, 3.9 points, 6.1 points. They don't sound crazy, but when you realize that the trust that the coaches had in you on a yearly basis was because of probably the work that you put in the summers during the season, and that's why your numbers grew so much also.
Well, it's for me, the connection between a player and a coach is a back and forth, you know. The more you give him as a player, the more the coach will give you back, because I don't believe there is a coach that he doesn't want to have a good player or a player that does the job for him, you know. I don't believe there is coaches that they don't want the guys that they work and they prove their work and their growth, like you say, and their improvement on the court. So for me, this is what I was trying to do, always listen to what my coaches wanted for me, working on that and trying to accomplish it, you know. As long as I was doing it, I was getting the credit, you know, and that's how I learned to play the game and to learn to earn my minutes, let's say, on the court.
21 years old, all right? You're part of probably the most famous EuroLeague game in the history of this league. The final between Olympiacos and Cheska. You guys are down 19 in the third quarter. Everybody knows the story. I don't want to know what it felt like to win that game. I want to know what it felt like just to be there, to be a part of that Final Four, the weekend, the semifinal game, the whole atmosphere. I mean, because everybody kind of knows, I'll ask you later, but everybody kind of knows what it would feel like for a player to win a tournament like that. No one knows unless you're a part of it, but what does it feel like just to be there at 21 years old? I mean, because everything happens so fast for you. It's a matter of 6 or 7 years.
It's crazy. I tell you, it's very hard for me to describe any of it, you know, any of it, because I was really young and I didn't have the experience, you know, like to comprehend what really happened. And what I mean is, like, for us, just winning Siena and that playoffs and going to the Final Four was like, okay, we're done. We did the best thing we can do.
Right.
We break every barrier that we set, you know, like according to our goals for that season. And we went there, everybody was like, okay, let's just enjoy, you know, and have nothing to lose, because we really didn't have nothing to lose, you know. It was a team with two veterans, I mean, Billy and Yorgos, that they were not even that old at the time,
exactly.
You know, but two experienced guys. And from there on was like 7 kids and 2-3 Americans that, they, you know, yeah, it's the truth. When you talk for about a 21 and 22 years old guy, you know what I mean? What you think is a kid, you know, you think is very young. And some Americans that they just trying to make a statement in EuroLeague, and like Kyle, like Law, that it was their first seasons and they were trying to make a statement in the league, you know, and also Pero Andic that was trying to do his I think crazy Pero, by the way.
He's a lot of fun, isn't he?
Right. He was my roommate, so I know a lot of
him. No way, are you serious?
Yes, yes. So from us getting there to the Final Four, it was just an experience, you know. Like, I remember myself, I wanted to live every moment, you know, to get out of it the best I can, you know, the most I can. Stepping on the court, the only thing we didn't have in mind was like, oh, what if we lose? We just went there to play the game. We played the final. I don't even remember how I felt during the game, you know. Like, I think I was numb. I was just numb. I was playing in the final, win Barcelona the day before. It was crazy for us, you know. Nobody expected us to do that.
Let's just kind of go over this. In the playoff against Siena, you played all four games. You didn't play more than 20 minutes in either game. I think it was like one game you played 12. You scored 25 total points in that four-game playoff.
I don't know this. You're telling me this.
Yeah, of course.
You say it's right.
That's why I do this job, man. That's why they gave me this job, because I do my research. I do my work, my man. 25 points you scored in that game. In the final four, you scored 27. You scored 9 in the first game, and you went 18 in the second game. All right? You went like up against guys like Kristic, Siskauskas, Teodosic, Kirilenko. I mean, you got these guys on the court when you're 21 years old, and you come up not only with 18 points, but you knock down 2 free throws with 10 seconds to go in the game, which were huge free throws to get you in that position. Dude, you scored like 30% of your team's points. You realize more than 30% of your team's points in that game. What's the deal with you showing up in the most important moments? Are you still making up for that day you went to Artis and you played bad in front of everybody?
I surely hope so. But like I told you, man, I was just not thinking, just playing the game. That was I believe the more relaxed I've been in such a crucial game, you know. Maybe because, like I told you before, I couldn't realize how crucial that game was because of my age, you know. Like, I had, even if we lose, nothing will happen. Nobody will blame us, you know, about anything. We already did the best thing we could do. Maybe it was our time to do something, you know. Like, I don't know. I cannot find the words to explain anything about that weekend, you know. But I'm telling you, everything is so hard for me. And it's not, and we talk in English. Even if you tell me to explain to you in Greek, I don't think I could find the words, you know, to explain to you. It's such a magical moment. Not only for me, for all the club and the history of the club, you know, what happened that day, is that I don't think anybody would ever forget. You hear every time that is the Cinderella story. It's exactly like that for me. It's exactly like that.
You know, sometimes there's always that battle between experience and inexperience. And most of the time, experience wins out. But there are times, like you said, where inexperience is just being dumb and being naive about things. And like, well, whatever, I'm here. I'm just going to enjoy it. And you don't feel the pressure. You just kind of relax and you do it. And now you're on the crossover with me. So I always ask like some tough questions every now and then. So I need you to be extremely, extremely honest. And I know the type of guy
I'll do my best.
And I know what you're going to say. But the MVP of that Final Four was my boy Vasilis. He got the MVP. Now, don't tell me that at one point or another, after that game, or any time after that, even up to today, that you didn't think like, damn it, I should have got the MVP for that tournament.
All right, I'm going to be honest with you. You don't know how many guys came over to me all these years and told me, like from fans, from friends, from people I meet in the street, many, 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 many. It would be amazing for me to win it. I won't lie to you. It would be a great personal accomplishment, you know. But if you put next to each other what the team accomplished and the personal accomplishment, it's like a huge difference, you know. Like, I don't even think I could get any more credit winning the MVP for myself, you know, than winning the EuroLeague itself, you know. It wouldn't make any difference. For me, it's... doesn't really matter, you know. Like, that's why I chose to play basketball. I said many times, because it's a team sport. Of course, I would love it to win it, but
I don't mind. That's the question. That's the answer. I was looking for.
I would love it. Who wouldn't? But right. You know, that's a secondary thing. You know, the main thing is the big trophy, and that's what you care about. That's what it's all about. That's why you're fighting. Why you said sweating, bleeding, everything. You know.
But what about? What about when you've lifted the trophy, you're doing the thing, And then all of a sudden the speaker comes out and he's like, and now for the EuroLeague Final Four MVP. There wasn't that moment right there where you're like, oh, is he going to call my name?
I thought it for a second. I won't lie
okay,
to you.
Okay, good.
I thought it for a second. Good. I won't lie to you. But I wasn't disappointed.
No, of course, you're not disappointed because you've won what you've needed to win. But I'm glad that you said that at least you thought they were going to call
I thought it for a second. Curtis, you think?
I had to look up because I'm like, all right, 18 points in the biggest game of your career with 21 years old. I looked up your career high since then. You know what your career high is?
21.
In any EuroLeague game, I'm talking.
21 points, I think, with Khimki, right?
No, it was 22 points with Baskonia.
The other crazy game.
You got your rebounding high, I think, with Khimki.
Right, I remember.
Rebounding highs. Or that was your PIR high.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
You got a career high of 22 and you scored 18 at 21 in the final game. It's really an amazing story.
It is. And I thank God, you know, that gave me this, how can I say, you know, like I cannot find the words to express. I thank the God that blessed me, you know, to be able to achieve these things and the things that I've done so far till today, you know. Because I know many, many, many much more greater players than me, you know, that they didn't have the opportunity, you know, to win a big title or something like that. They totally deserve it. But because of some circumstances or anything, you know, they didn't have the chance. Yeah. So I know
what it
means.
A lot of it's being in the right place at the right time also, you know.
Exactly.
I've always felt the same way about the times that I won. I was just in the right place at the right time and you take advantage of it. But the next year, you guys were the last team to repeat, which is becoming one of the most difficult things to do in basketball is repeat as a EuroLeague champion. But the amazing thing that I didn't realize until I started doing this research was, I think I've even discussed this with Billy in our interview, you guys changed coaches.
Right.
You have two things really going against you. One is the fact that you guys won. And the tendency the year after is like, all right, well, we won.
Everybody's expecting you, you know, also next year, you know. Everybody want to be the champion, especially the team.
On top of that, you change coaches, which is you change systems, you change mentalities, because Ivković was a great coach who gave you a lot of confidence and really depended on you through a lot of moments. And now Bartsokas comes in and he takes over the team. How does it happen where you guys come back and win again? Because if anybody was to bet money, seeing that you won one year, you change your coaches and you start another year, they would say there's no way that this team could possibly repeat.
I think the most clever, the smartest thing that Coach Bartsokas did, it was like he didn't try to change everything, the whole identity of the team. So what I mean, he kept a lot of stuff, you know, that we had from the previous year, and he added up some small details of his identity, you know, and what he wanted to do on the court. And I think that was the key, because the team just keep working and keep going on the automatic from what they had learned. Everybody we had learned from the previous season, you know. So it wasn't a big mix-up, you know, between the systems and everything. So we just pick it up from when we left it the last season and we just kept going. Of course, nobody believed that the outcome would be the outcome that we had in the end of the season. But, you know, like everybody had a much more confidence and was feeling better, you know, and stronger and capable to do better things, you know. It's like you told before, like you said before, like confidence is the number one thing. And we had that.
Which one of those two is more unexpected?
More unexpected for sure is the first. More difficult was the second.
Because now you're not the hunter anymore. You're being the hunter.
Right. Everybody now was suspicious, if I can say, playing with us. Because the first year when we played with some teams, they were like, okay, Olympiacos with the kids, you know, not so strong team, you know. But the second year, everybody had they were expecting us, and we were seeing that, like going to play into arenas and everything. We could see to the opponents and to the fans that they really want to beat us, you know, for what we did the year before, you know, like right. not with hate or anything, but they wanted to get, you know, like something out of the greatness of that this team had accomplished the year before.
I mean, look, most teams, whether they're the top teams or the middle of the pack teams or whatever teams, they always, even in your domestic league, they always want to beat Olympiacos or Panathinaikos. They always want to beat them. But when they come in as the defending champions, they always want to beat them even more. But that year you won the 2013 EuroLeague Rising Star Award. I said this in my opening. How many Young Player Rising Star Awards can you possibly win in 1 year or in a couple seasons? I mean, eventually they got to say, okay, well, enough of the Young Guy Awards. This guy's a good player.
I don't know, man. I don't know. This is something that you could put, you know, on your personal list of accomplishments, you know, at some point to be considered one of the leagues, the second biggest league in the world, you know, most talented young player of all Europe, you know, it's a big accomplishment, you know, it's a big accomplishment. And all those things, you know, just boosts your confidence, boosts your passion and your need to work, you know, makes you hungry, you know, you want more and more, you want to achieve more, you want to keep fighting, gives you the juice, you know, to keep working even harder, because you see that when you work, here come the rewards, here come, you know, the good stuff. And all that worked out perfect for me, you know, in the early years of my career.
You know, those awards are you know, the trophies that you put up in your house, and, you know, you see them now and then, but what they signify is the validation of all the hard work that you've put in and all the, and it's not only a physical hard work, it's a mental hard work, because it's difficult to be being yelled at by a coach all day long and being told what to do and hearing that whistle blow and having to get up and go on a, you know, it's really difficult to do all
this. It's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, listen, I always say this, we are fortunate that we just turn our hobby or something that we like into our job. Mm-hmm. We're fortunate for that. And we get paid a really good money for it. I mean, guys that they do their PhDs and everything, some of them don't even make it to make the money we make for just doing our hobby, you know. But also what they don't realize is what we give up from our life, you know, in order to get to that. Like for me, for instance, being a 14, 15-year-old boy, I wanted to go to the beach. I wanted to go to my village to play with my friends and everything, to go to the sea, have vacation. I gave up everything.
Those Friday night birthday parties when all your friends are all together, but you have a game on Saturday morning. And
exactly,
you
exactly. I gave up everything until the age of 23, 24, until I went again for vacation. Nobody told me to do it, but I wanted to do it because I had something in mind, you know, I had a goal. And that's why I feel blessed, you know, that I had the opportunity to be in the right mind to do the way I did things, you know, in order to be here today.
You know, you're still a relatively young guy, but you seem like the old guy because you've been around for so long. You know what I mean? Your name's been around for so long, but isn't it crazy that one day you're in the locker room and you're playing with all these guys and you're like the young kid on the team. Now all of a sudden you're 30 and you're like, hold on a second. All of a sudden people are like, you're looking at me like I'm the veteran on the team. Like I'm the.
Sometimes it hits you.
It's like 1 year to another. You went from the young kid on the team to the old guy.
Sometimes it hits you, you know, like, and it hits you really good when somebody come to ask for your advice, you know, a younger player or something, you know. Then you're like, okay, I'm old. You know, like this is what I used to do, going to the older players, you know, and ask for their opinion or for their guidance or anything, you know. And now they come up to me, so something is wrong, you know.
I remember playing a game when I was in Madrid. We were playing, I can't remember who we played against, but it was like a smaller team from another country. It was like in the beginning of the European League. And two kids that played on the team came up to me at the end of the game when we were walking through the tunnel and asked me to take a picture with them. I'm like, no, I'm not that old yet. But that for me, that was the moment. I was like, this is almost over for me. I gotta start enjoying this a little bit more. No. All right, so here's my tough question that everybody's gonna get mad at me for saying, but it has nothing to do with Real Madrid and Barcelona. It has nothing to do with it at all because I could care less one way or the other. But why the hell, after all this success, do you pick up and leave everything that you have in Olympiacos and go to Spain and go to Barcelona? And I don't care. If you went to Madrid, I'd still be asking you, why the hell did you go to Madrid? I mean, you're living the dream in I don't know where you live, in Vogomeni, or I don't know where you were living, but you're in that area of everybody knows you, everything's beautiful, everything's wonderful, you guys are winning, and you pick up and boom, you go to Barcelona. Why?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't really. It was a different. It was a peculiar situation, you know. Like when the season ended, Barcelona came, you know, and talked with Olympiacos to require my rights, you know, and the team obviously, you know, thought that this was the best moment for us to part ways, you know. It was it would be a win-win for both of us, you know, like they would make some money, I would make some money and go to another also big club, you know, and everything. For me, priority was to stay here, but when the things came out like this and I saw what the team wanted also, I just I pulled the trigger, you know, and I took what I had in front of me, and it wasn't like I was going to a bad club or something. I was going to right. Barcelona, and we all know what Barcelona means. Even you being in Madrid, you know what Barcelona means and how huge they are, like a club, you know. And so it wasn't difficult for me. Of course, it was difficult that I had to leave all the. Like you said, everything here was settled for me. Like I was in my own country, everything was nice. But I don't know. Maybe it was the time for both of us, for the team and for me, to part ways. Because deep down, I believe both of us, also me, also the team, knew that we will meet again. You know, down the road, and we will hold hands again, and we go together.
But you know, as players that are at the level that you were at that point, there's a lot of pride that's involved with it. A lot of times we have stupid pride also. We have so much pride that we're idiots, you know? I mean, it's just what happens. You had to have some sort of hard feeling that they started to want to look into moving you. I mean, obviously you guys held hands again and you're back, and we know the story.
Yeah. I mean, of course I was a little bit bitter at the beginning, but I believe that happened mostly because I was young and I couldn't realize that this is how things work, you know. This is how the things are in this business, you know. I was too young to understand it at the time, and once everything happened and I sit down, I relax, and I calm down, and I thought everything the right way, I could see why Olympiacos did what did at the moment and what was the reason, and I don't blame him. If I was the businessman, I probably would do the same thing, you know?
Yeah, we realize those things as we get older. Not so much when we're young, but you in Barcelona, you won the league, which I thought was a great accomplishment considering, and again, it's not a Madrid-Barcelona thing. I keep stressing this point so no one gets upset or whatever, but you played in one of the most difficult games that anybody's ever probably played in, and that was the Final Four game where you guys lost to your bitter rival by 38 points.
It was hard. It was hard because The week before the playoff, we beat them at Palau. We beat them at Palau easily, you know, and everybody was very confident, you know. Maybe that was our mistake, you know. That was a little trap that we set in ourselves, you know. Going to the Final Four, everybody was so confident that we're going to do well because we beat them just previous week and everything. But Madrid really outplayed us that day. They played great, you know. They dominate the game, and we had one, I believe, one of the worst performances that we could have at this season, you know. Yeah. But again, the season ended up like amazing, you know. Like, we finished third, and then it was this another memorable, you know, semi-final with Valencia with five great games.
Right, I remember that.
Yes, and then the final against Madrid was also, you know, I remember Maciel Lampe in the last game in Palau made a very, very crucial three-pointer, 50 seconds to go to the game, and we secured the win because it was, you know, 50-50 at the time.
And that has to feel good after that Final Four loss also.
Yeah, it's a redeem, you know, also. Yeah. It's a redeem, you know, for the fans, for the club, for everybody, you know.
Did you learn any Spanish?
I tell you what, by the end of the season when I was in Barcelona, I could understand.
Right.
When somebody was talking to me, I could understand. I couldn't complete my sentences in order to answer back. But, you know, I could make sense if I wanted to say something or to point something to somebody. I believe I could make sense. Or somebody was very polite with me and didn't want to make fun of me, you know.
There you go. And now you take off. You signed a four-year deal at Barcelona, but you took off. I'm assuming Houston bought your rights out. That was when you went to the NBA.
Yes.
Was it ever, I mean, for an American guy growing up and you start playing basketball, it's always, NBA is always a dream. Was it ever, I mean, you're not even telling me that playing in the Greek League or the Euro League was really a dream. It was something that just happened to you. I mean, I'm sure, when did the NBA become like, wow, I might be able to do this?
Well, you know, there is players that they say, you know, NBA is not for me. I wouldn't do it if it will come. And there is players, like you say, that they say NBA is the wow thing. For me, it's the wow thing. It's like I always said it once I start playing in a big league and playing in EuroLeague, I ever said that if I ever have the opportunity to go there, even for a year, to live this experience, you know, it will be a no-brainer. It will be a no-brainer for me. And that's what happened when I was in Barcelona. I had a great contract in Barcelona. I was in a great environment. I was very happy being there, you know, and everything. But this dream, you know, came knocking on the door, and I just couldn't refuse, you know. Like, it was my shot, because you know how NBA is also. Like, if you skip one time the chance you have, you might never get a second one. So I didn't want to kick it away, you know. I wanted to give it a shot, give it a try, and, you know, see how this new world is, you know.
You were drafted by the Knicks, and you went through the typical NBA thing where your rights were traded to Portland, and then they went off to you. I mean, you were kicked around America before you even stepped foot to play, to have a practice, you know. But, and then you end up in Houston, and what's the first thing you remember about?
Humidity. It was crazy.
It's nuts, isn't it?
It was crazy. You know, the craziest thing, it was like, I was like boiling. Going into a building was like minus on a air conditioning. Like, your whole body was getting in shock. I was so, like, honestly, when I got there, that was the first time I was like, man, what's going on with this weather? What's wrong with these guys?
The worst part is anywhere you go, you end up walking in, and they put it at like 18 or 15 degrees Celsius, and
exactly.
It's freezing. And then you
it's
walk
freezing.
Out, and you just start sweating immediately.
You start having a headache immediately, you know, because your body is in shock, you know.
Your glasses fog up, your sunglasses fog up, and everything.
Everything.
Your family Your family went with you too, didn't they?
Well, they came visit a couple of times. I was by myself there, you know. It was amazing. Like, to be honest with you, like, even going to the States, because it was my first time, you know, going to see all these buildings, the big buildings, and then living there, the American life, way of life, you know, the way they live, you know, and everything is way different from Europe and much more different than here in Greece, you know.
Right.
And it was all new for me. It was a big endless experience for me, you know, in everything, in life, in basketball, in everything.
Your season was a good season. You guys finished in the top. You guys went to the Western Conference Finals. You lost to, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant in the finals, which was, I guess everybody kind of expected was going to happen. You guys probably didn't think that was going to happen, but that was a great team. I mean, what do you take out of that experience? That had to be an incredible experience. And not only do you show up from Europe into there, but you make it to the Western Conference Finals and you're playing with James Harden and you know, an amazing team.
Well, I was lucky once more, you know, because the season I went there, the team made it all the way to the conference final. So I had the chance to live the whole thing of it, you know, like the only thing I had left was like go to the finals and win a ring.
Right.
That's the most you can get out of it. Being there, you know, and working out the way they work out and all the schedule, you know how it is. Just the people don't know how it is. Like, there is a schedule about everything. It's not like they don't go day by day. The first day you get in, they see you, they measure you, they run you through all the tests and everything, and they make a plan for you, you know? This is what you gotta do, this is what you gotta fix, this is what you gotta get strength on, everything. And the most amazing and good thing for me in order to make you work is that over there, nobody will force you to work.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you, look, we have here is the coaches, here is the strength condition coaches, here is everybody. You know, as long as you want to work, they will be here and help you. You don't want to work, somebody else will do the job for you. This is how it is there, you know. And I believe it's what gives guys over there the extra knowledge, you know, to do the step up and the bigger effort. This is when I realize how much limits our body has, you know,
yeah.
And how much you can push yourself and he can take it, you know.
After that, it wasn't a great experience. You were traded to Denver. You got pretty much put into the business part of the game, which is the
exactly.
Which is the ugly part of the game. You know, you traded to Denver. You let go, you were released for financial purposes in September. They brought you back in November. It's just so typical business-wise. And then they let you go again, and that was it. You know, I love to talk about people when they go through bad experiences like that, and I don't really want to get into that with you. I have just three questions. One, what was better than you ever expected about your time in the NBA? Like, before you went there, you expected, like, boom, will you be, man, this is going to be amazing. What was the even better than what you expected when you got there?
Well, the moment, the part of the season that I had a lot of playing time in Houston was like, that was more than I expected, you know? Like, I was averaging 20, 25 minutes per game, and you know, it's like they started treating me like one of the Trevor Arizas, one of the James Harden, because I was playing, I was playing a lot, you know. Like, I remember going to the practice and they were like, okay, James, Dwight, Ariza, Mote Yunus and Papanikolaou, you're out of practice. I was like, why? I want to work. No. You average in 25 minutes, you got to rest. Go take a massage, go do something, you know. I was like, no, I want to work. You can get some shots after the practice if you want. You cannot practice. You're permitted to practice. Yeah, like that. It was crazy. And but also, you know, the whole experience, like the buses to the hotel, you don't get even to carry your luggage, you know, everything is coming out. You go to the room, everything is there, you know, you go into the private plane, you walk to the side door, you straight go to the plane, no security check, no nothing.
Right.
It's everything, you know, like, plus that I was in a new country, that in every city that we were going, I had a lot of things to see and to explore, you know.
What was the worst part of the experience?
For me, it wasn't
other than the humidity.
Yeah. if I could say what's the worst part was like my injury. When I got injured in Houston from the sprained ankle, I got one sprained knee playing the Timberwolves. I stayed out for 15 days. Until that moment, I was averaging 20 minutes, like I told you before. After this, the trades happened and Corey Brewer and Josh Smith came to the team. So I lost all my playing time, was right at my position. And I'm saying this is a bad experience because I feel unlucky that I didn't have the chance to, because I was injured, to be there and try to hold on some of my minutes, you know, on my playing time and everything. But this is part of life. That's part of the sport, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it. This is how it is, you know?
Yeah. The third question is, on a night-to-night basis, game-to-game, what's the difference between the NBA and the EuroLeague?
Oh, you mean about the main differences on the game? Because
everything, the life, the games, the.
Well, I tell you, like, I believe in Europe, the teams are more organized, if I could say, or more not. No, that's the wrong way to put it. The teams in Europe wanted a little bit to control everything. On your, especially the day of the game routine, but sometimes also the previous day, you know.
Right.
That helps some of the guys, but doesn't bother, you know, or doesn't do anything for other guys. In the US, it's like you're on your own. You can do whatever you want, you know. All I care is for you to come and perform. Yes, to come and perform. I don't care if you want to go out and party until 7 a.m. the night before. As long as you can come in and do what you want, what I want you to do for me, do it. The moment you stop doing it, though, somebody else will come and replace you, you know? That was one of the main differences that I found there, you know? And especially, and of course then, okay, the speed of the game and all this stuff, you know, is something I believe that everybody can see even from a TV, you know.
The game is difficult also for a EuroLeague person to understand, because in the EuroLeague every game is important every night.
Exactly.
And in the NBA you might just say, all right, well, you know, we won last night, we could take the night off and take a rest and
big true.
And that's a strange feeling as a player, because you don't actually say, okay, guys, let's take it easy, but everybody just kind of collectively just takes the night off.
Exactly, exactly. That's a big difference, you know, between Europe and US. That's why a lot of European guys, when they go there, you know, they're like, why? I had the same feeling, you know. I was talking with Mote Yunas, that he was there before me for a couple of years, and I was like, okay, what's going on? Why we loosen up? Why are we relaxing, you know? Why we don't go to win this game? I mean, we play, for example, Phoenix Suns, I don't know, you know, like they're not that strong. Why we don't want to win this game? Then we're like, oh, okay, you know, this is how they do here. I say, okay.
So you get released by Denver. It's got to be one of the more difficult parts of your career up until this point to be released. But like you said earlier, you were going to hold Olympiakos' hand again someday. And at that time, the guy that I just did an interview with not too long ago, who just came out on the crossover, Coach Sferopoulos.
Sferopoulos, yes.
Goes searching for you. I mean, how long did it take you to say, I'll be there?
Well, it was a process, you know, like right before Christmas, Olympiakos was out in the market for a player, and they got in touch with me. But at that moment, I was still player of Denver, and I knew that my option for a guaranteed contract was until 14th of January, if I'm not mistaken. If this date was going by, then my contract was guaranteed. That means I stay throughout the whole season.
Right.
So they talked to us, and we talked we talked to the assistant GM. I don't want to name any guys because our feel is right, you know. So we talked to the assistant GM of the Denver Nuggets, you know, at the time, who said, listen, we have this offer, this team approach us, Olympiacos approach us, and we just want to know that what you're thinking, you know, because if you're thinking about waiving Kostas, you know, maybe it's better, you know, you let him go now so he doesn't lose also the other offer from this team and everything. He said, no, we are very, very happy, you know, his work ethic, the way he does things and everything, you know, we're very happy from him and everything. I would say, okay, we said to Olympiacos, you know, sorry, but we want to fight our chances, you know, here in the NBA. Thank you very much. We talk another time if, depending on the situation, you know. So the time goes by, and then a couple of days before the 14th, you know, we are at Memphis. I remember we're at Memphis. And we had a day off, we were playing the next day. I woke up in the morning because we fly in. I see like 15 calls from my coach, 15 calls from assistant GM, 15 calls from my GM, from my manager. So something is wrong. Something is wrong. I called them, they told me, you know, we gotta waive you and blah, blah, blah. And from then on, you know, we started negotiating with Europe because I had some other offers for 10-day contracts, you know, in the NBA. But like you said before, I didn't want to go any deeper into this business part of the situation, you know, and of the league, because going for 10 days in one place and then another 10 days into another place, you're not stable, you know. And it wasn't something that I wanted to try and do at that moment, you know. And then Olympiacos came, we had our conversations and everything. It was a quick process, you know, and all this thing was took a while, you know, for people, you know, that they were expecting it. But between me and Olympiacos, it was once we got in touch and we sit down and we start talking, it was done immediately, you know.
Again, I didn't know until a couple of weeks ago that Giannis Sferopoulos was the assistant coach in that game where you scored 18 points.
Right.
That beat the Cheska in the final.
Yeah. You know, I guess it was very tough for him because he was in Olympiacos also before, you know, and
right. We talked a lot about that in the crossover. I had to message him because he was so kind. After we did the interview, he asked for my number, which I was a little bit nervous about at first. And he sent me a message and told me how thankful he was and how great it came out, so forth and so on. And so I texted him last night when I was doing all my work. And I said, Coach, I said, I'm with Kostas tomorrow. And I said, just give me a little something. Just give me a little something about him, you know. And he told me what I think everybody really knows about you, which is that on the floor, you're just one of those guys that does everything. You'll defend anybody, you'll play any position. You're the type of player that any coach loves. But what he did tell me was in two short messages. I'm gonna play them for you. He told me in two short messages what a lot of people don't know, and I think it's what people need to know. I'm gonna play. I hope you could hear it.
Except a great player is also a great character, and he's a player that he's the glue in the locker room. He has great ability to connect all the teammates inside the locker room, and you know, to make them feel like family. I was very proud and I was very happy to work with him all these years in Olympiacos.
And I think that pretty much defines who you are from everything that everybody's told me and everything that I've heard about you and everything that I've seen. I mean, it's your ability to be that person in the locker room and be that important figure. Even when you were at a young age, people told me that you were like that. Where does that leadership quality come from? Is it your dad being a cop?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. What I do, and I do it in my life, in every part of my life, you know, and not only basketball, is like I let my heart guide me, you know? Like if my heart tells me that I have to speak, or if I have to do something, or my instinct, I just do it, you know? I don't have a second thought in anything. It's great, you know, it's great to listen to this, all these nice words, you know, and everything from people, and especially from coaches that you work with, you know, and everything. It flatters you a lot, and it shows you that you really, you know, mean something, you know, to ex co-workers and everything, you know, like you have, especially now that you play this message from Coach Feropoulos, it's something that Nikola Milutinov had said in some previous interviews of him in some medias, you know, and everything. These things make me, you know, like, I don't know, like, feel a little bit, you know, that I can't express the words, you know, like what I'm trying to say is like that when I was young, I used to have guys and people talking to me and guiding me, and also a lot of basketball players that they tried to help me throughout my career, you know. So basically what I'm trying to do right now is like I'm trying to give back, you know, when I see young player that they want to hear, or they want to listen, or they might want to need some guidance and everything. This is what I'm trying to do. If they're gonna listen to it, if they're gonna keep it or not, it's up to them. They have the criterion, you know, to hold and to or release everything they hear, and to follow or not to do everything that they've been told.
Look, that's, Costas, that's your inability to explain exactly how you feel when people talk the way they talk about you is answering the question. You know what I mean? The fact that you can't find the words to appreciate what people say about you pretty much answers the question itself, you know, and it just kind of indicates the type of person that you are. And I mean, that's just the way it is, man. I mean, sometimes I look back and people come up to me still at 55 years old, like, you're my idol. I'm like, I was your idol? Why would I be your idol? You know what I mean? You need to find better idols than me, you know? But it's a good feeling, and it's something that's hard to explain.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's the best thing. It's a great recognition for who you are, like a not only like a player, but as a person too, you know?
When your peers talk about you, the people who play with you, play against you, and the people who know you the best talk about you that way, it's a special feeling. Let's try to finish up here if we can, because I know you probably got a busy day, especially with the doctor's appointment. But
right.
2007, I talked to Coach about this, the bad luck that he had. He's gone to two Final Fours with Olympiacos, one with you, one without you. And both of them were at the home court of the winning team.
The opponent team, yes.
And you went through that at Fenerbahce, and that was a tough game, a game that was, again, probably a game you didn't really expect to be in or expect the battle, but you guys did. And since then, I don't want to get too much into that game, but since then, Olympiacos in your club has kind of been in a rebuilding mode, so to speak. So many things have happened in the Greek domestic league. So many things are happening in the Euro League. You guys have changed the budget. You know, a lot of new players coming in year after year. A person that has so much time there invested, like you, Vasilis, and Yorgos, what are you feeling right now? What's going on for you personally? I mean, are you excited about the future? Are you a part of this building project? What's going on in your mind personally?
I really feel excited about where Olympiacos is heading right now, because yes, we had 2 years that they were not the best for us. A lot of changes, like you said, happen. But you cannot just flip a switch and get back to where you used to be, you know?
Yeah.
This is the first season, I believe, of a process, you know, for us to rebuild and get back into where Olympiacos used to be, and where we want to have the team, you know, for our fans and for the club itself. And I believe that this will not take long. You know, like I believe that next year we will be even stronger and maybe in a better position, you know, to accomplish all our goals. Also, last year nothing is done yet. You know, like there is a lot of games yet still to go. We are not in the best position, but as long as we're alive, you know, and as we're breathing, we have to fight with our chances and do the best we can.
That's what Olympiacos has always done, no matter what the
team
is.
Against all odds.
I think one of the biggest questions I want to know, that I'm sure everybody else wants to know, what's it like for a young guy like you to come up with two examples like Spanoulis and Printzis? I mean, you can't help on a daily basis but to learn and become better. It's like even if you don't want to become a better player, if you go out and practice against these two guys every day, you have no other choice.
It's not only the practice. It's the thing that they do, you know, extra. It's not like the team practice, you know what I mean? What I mean is, like, when I was 21 years old and Billy was like 28, 29 at the time, finishing the practice and seeing Billy sitting on the court and keep shooting endlessly, you know, makes you think like, okay, if he does it, that he is who he is and he accomplished what he accomplished, what should I do, you know? Right. So I had, in order to keep up with that, to come in the morning and shoot extra, and plus stay after the practice and shoot extra, you know. They set the bar and the example, you know, for every player, you know, on how things supposed to go if you want to be successful, you know. And that's for both of them, you know. Also, Yorgos is a really hard worker. He never stops. During the summer, during the winter, goes to the gym, goes extra shots, everything. They are the best example, I believe. Also, the kids that they are now in Olympiacos in young ages that they could have, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the luck that you've had over the years.
Yes.
You've been able to learn from the best. I mean, it's like I said. Well, one of my final questions in this part of the interview is, it's one of the most important ones for me because it is something that you and I have in common. I always like having something in common with a 30-year-old EuroLeague star. So I always try to put this into my interview. I'm an ambassador for one team. One team is a project that was developed back in 2012. As you know, it's a corporate social responsibility program that uses basketball to kind of create positive changes in people's lives that aren't as lucky as you or as I and a lot of other people. I've been with you in a lot of these events, and you're probably one of the most active players and well-known faces that this organization has, this one team has. The easiest question I have is why? Why is it so important to you?
Why? Because it doesn't take nothing, just an hour of your time, an hour of your life, you know? In order to give so much joy and so much feelings into all those kids. And what is most surprising is, like, when you are there during this hour, you realize at some point that it's not the feelings only that you give them, it's what you get back, you know? Because every time you go with these kids, you know, their hugs and their laugh and the, you know, every time you walk through the door, they see you and they open their eyes from joy and everything. They run towards you and just to hug you and to play with you and to show you their love. This is something that fills you up, you know, like a person. That's what I've been getting from one team all those years. And every single time. And that's why I keep doing it. That's why I'm happy for doing it. And that's why I don't want to stop doing it.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy that with all this Corona and everything else that we haven't been able to do more events, you know, like we used to. And I want to get back to it so badly. You know, I miss those kids. I miss, like you said, and I'm going to be very honest and Abby, you know, Abby might kill me one day for saying this, but usually when I do these events, like a couple hours before, I'm like, oh man, a one team event, all these kids, all this, whatever, you know, it's like, oh God, I got to go do this for an hour. And like you said, it's like, it fills me for like 4 or 5 days afterwards. You know, that like the hugs and the smiles and the ability to give these kids just the, and for me, they don't even know me. I'm just some old guy, you know what I mean? But I think I get much more out of those events than those kids do. Maybe with you, you know, they get much more out of it. But it is what is you, even in English, that it's not your first language. You explained it exactly the way I explained it all the time. It's just such a great feeling when you walk out of there and what you can give back to those kids.
It's amazing. And we really got to congratulate EuroLeague for this initiative, you know, yeah, like doing that and being allowed us to be part of that.
I begged back in, I think when the Final Four was here in Madrid in 2014, I begged Abby. I was like, please, please just let me be a part of this somehow. Find something for me. Just, you know, do whatever. I love kids and I love to be able to give back to kids. So it's the proudest thing that I do outside of, you know, my jobs. But all right, my man, the interview part of this is all finished. And now it's the fun time. Part one of our second part will be to get to know you a little bit better. It's a little bit of a test to see what kind of person you are and what kind of things that you like. So come on, let's get started.
One-on-one with Joe R. Lucas.
You have a free trip anywhere in the world that you can go on vacation or whatever. Where's your destination?
Ooh, I would say Australia.
Australia. Have you ever been there?
I've been there, but I didn't have the chance
to enjoy
right. Yeah.
Last movie you watched or series? Nowadays, we watch a lot of series, so.
Last series that I keep watching right now with my wife is Modern Family. Hilarious. Hilarious.
It's one of my favorites.
Amazing.
But what season are you in?
Now we're at the 8th. If I'm mistaken.
It doesn't get so good towards the end of the season, but the beginning, the first
beginning was
incredible.
Amazing, man.
You watch it in English, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, gay. Yeah. Sofia Vergara is calling.
Hey, look at, until I married my wife, I was in love with Sofia Vergara. That's the only reason why I watched that show.
I don't blame you.
You sit down at a table, you could order any meal in the world. Any meal and it's going to be served to you. What's your go-to meal?
I will be a Greek traditional guy and say gyros.
Gyros, nice.
To advertise a little bit, you know.
There you go. Your childhood idol.
Childhood idol was not one. It was two, actually. It was in basketball, of course. It was Vasilopoulos. Because he was young age and he was playing Olympiacos, you know, and he was in young age and I could get sort of connected with him. And the second one was Diamandidis because he was from a city right next to the city that I grew up. So I could also feel the connection, you know, like, oh, look, he's from here and he made it. The other guy is young and he made it. Maybe I could make it one day. Those two guys were my idols.
Tell me the one game that if you can go back in time and play again, that you would love to go back and play.
Same outcome?
Yeah.
Okay, 2012 then.
All right, there you final. Go. That's the first time I've heard that, but I like that answer.
Really?
Yeah, that's the first. Like usually everybody wants to go back and replay a game that they lost.
No.
Yeah, that's a good one, I like that. Now, I mean, we're going right into another answer of your question. Tell me your top three EuroLeague memories. That's obviously number one.
Yeah, obviously. And also, the two EuroLeagues, I would say, is number one and number two. Number three, I would say, is the playoff series with Efes in 2017. Because it was a really tough series. Both teams played very well, you know.
That was
the
fifth game. You guys went to the fifth game.
Yes, and we lost the second game here and we won the fourth game there, you know, in order to come back for the fifth game. It was very intense and very good fight.
You're 30 and the way things are going in life recently, I know you're injured right now, but what are you going to do when this is all over? When you finally have to hang up the shoes and like all of a sudden this is a part of the past.
you know, the smartest thing they say to do is like to keep doing and keep working and keep being involved with something that you've done for so many years, because you know this project already. But I haven't figured out yet what it's gonna be and from where I'm gonna be serving this sport that we love, you know.
Now the hard part. You ready? Okay. testing your EuroLeague knowledge. I got 5 questions.
Oh man, I'm the worst with that. Billy used to do that all the time, and I'm the worst.
All of them have a different level of difficulty. All right, the first one's worth 10 points. And the fifth one's worth 50 points. And we got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. All right? I'm just going to give you a heads up before you start. The average score is between 30 and 40. So you can't, you know, you're going to be okay. Don't worry. But with one quick, good, easy question, you can take over first place. You ready?
The crossover test.
Question number one. Who is the current coach of Panathinaikos OPAP Athens?
Okay, Mr. Katas.
There you go. Let's see, you got 10 points. See, it's not that difficult. How many EuroLeague titles does Olympiakos have since the year 2000?
Since the 2000? Two.
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 I'm going to tell you what, they didn't give me the answer here.
Well, first one was 1997, so after 2000, it's 2012-2013.
All right, I'm going to go. You better know that one, so I'm going to give you that. 20 points. Number three. So now you're up to 30 points. I'm sorry.
Let's go.
You're getting there. You're at the average almost. In how many EuroLeague teams has Norris Cole, who's playing with ASVEL now, have played in?
Well, he played in ASVEL. He played in Budućnost. Where did he play before that? I think it was one more. I would say three. It was Maccabi also.
Damn, you got it, my man.
Yeah.
60 points.
I'm above average. I mean, yes.
Who ended in the top of the standings in the 2018-2019 regular season?
18-19?
Top of the standings at the end of the regular season.
I'm going to go by luck, you know, and I will say Madrid.
Oh, you missed that one. Fenerbahce. I thought for sure you'd go with Fenerbahce.
Ah, man.
It was one of the two. All right, last question worth 50 points. Let me see. You're sitting at 60 right now. So you got a chance to get the 110 here. Against which team did Olympiakos have its all-time point scoring record?
Oh, man. And I think I wasn't here too, right?
I can't give you any hints, man, because then people can get mad at me. This is more pressure than sitting at that foul line with 10 seconds left in the Cheska game, man.
Right. okay. I don't know. I would say Nanterre.
No. 113 against Union Olympia.
Damn it. I will never find that.
That was in 2007.
Well, I wasn't nice back then.
So what'd you end up with? 100? What'd you end up with? What'd I say?
60.
30, 60?
60. Yeah, 60 I want to be
points.
Fair.
60 points. This, man,
it's
close,
okay.
Man. You were close. Listen, my man, Kostas, first and foremost, stay healthy. I know you're hurt right now. Get better as quickly as you can. Second, thank you so much for taking the time out to be part of the crossover with Joe R. Lucas. You guys like you just make it a better product. You know, the way you're open, the way you're honest and everything about you. And of course, the most important thing is you're about to be a new daddy. So combining being a new daddy with basketball is one of the most difficult things you're going to experience
difficult.
In your life, my man. So,
that's what I hear.
Good luck to you. Good luck to your wife. But again, you have a perfect example in your team. You got Spanoulis, who's got like 36 kids.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's no big deal. Good luck to you, my man. And it's been a pleasure. Can't wait to see you in a one-team event sometime soon.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you for everything. It's been really... great, and you took me on a trip back on the days, you know, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you very much to you and to all the team.
Anytime. Good luck to you, man.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.